Welcome to cyberspace. I'm lost in the fog. Everything's digital. I'm still analog. When something goes wrong, I don't have a clue. Some 10-year-old smart ass has to show me what to do. Traveling with high speed, you don't have to wait. Sit there for days and vegetate. I access my email, read all my spam. I'm an analog man.
If y'all couldn't figure out from the music there at the opening, Steve, this is Alan Crutcher, you know, your host for, you know, Republic of Texas Radio, you know, Sunday morning. It's December 3rd, 2023. I almost felt compelled to say it's like June 3rd, 2024. Time flies so fast. We're already in frickin' December, man. Now, Steve won't be here this morning. Has a lot of stuff on his palate, and nothing special wrong with him that a lot of us aren't, you know, going through, unfortunately. But he's doing okay, and it'll just be me, and I'll have my sidekick Andy, I guess, coming on with me here talking about whatever we talk about. Probably won't be anything earth-shattering, you know. It's just you know, an analog man in a digital world, man. How did Joe Walsh know? You know, that's a pretty prescient song. You know, I love the phrase, you know, some 10-year-old smartass has to show me what to do. That's pretty much me, except for now it's like a 5 or 6-year-old smartass, you know, can show me more, you know, what to do on a computer and can, hey, you want to watch some porn? You know, it's like my friend Matthew will be coming on hopefully a little bit later. And, you know, he brought up to me one time, he said, Alan, you know, he said, in today's world, he said, cartoons are for adults, pornography is for children. And, you know, it's a pretty apt statement if you look at the world, you know, and once that happens, folks, you know, it was bad enough back when, you might, you know, find your dad's Playboy in the closet or something like that, you know, and you'd pull it out and you'd see, you know, some naked women. It's changed a lot since the innocent days of Playboy, you know, but still that, you know, that perversion, you know, and then, you know, Hustler magazine was a lot more risque. And, you know, if you wanted to rent a triple X video, you had to go down to the video store and go into the back room behind the curtain and, you know, try to sneak out with it so no one knew what you were, you know, what you were watching. You know, and, you know, those were back in the days of VHS tapes, you know, crap like that. But, no, it's just a weird world. I am an analog man in a digital world, and I see the nightmare for what it is. I don't ever try to defend it. Well, it's convenient, or I have to have it. I'm in a position, folks, where I don't have to have it for work. I don't have to have it for a business. I don't have to, you know, it's the ubiquitousness of, you know, of the digital menagerie that we're all living in. It's not required in my life, and I've told y'all why. Smartest guy I ever knew sat me down, told me. You know, I'm sure he went into DARPA, ended up dying in a one-car accident because he was a really good guy, had a soul to him, and can't really tell what happened to my good friend. But that's why I've kept myself out of it, not because I don't know how to use it or I would love to be able to use it if I didn't understand what it was. And is just little me sitting back, you know, rebelling against it, is it doing anything? In the big scheme of things, no. But, you know, it brings a little peace to my heart and my soul. It's real uncomfortable watching what happens to the world around me. It could have such beneficial effects, but, you know, it's all been weaponized. It's not released for us to use until it's weaponized, even as convenient as it can be, you know. Oh, well, I can give my 5-year-old a smartphone and I know where he is all the time. Or I can screw in this little camera in a light bulb socket on my house and it tracks and traces everything that goes on in the house. But it doesn't go anywhere else. It's just for me. No, that crap goes into the cloud, and anyone who knows and the people that are in control, it's all being recorded and tracked and traced, and, you know, it's stored in Bluffdale, Utah, the one that we know about, you know. Trillions or quadrillions of bits of data storage. That's, you know, these numbers, folks, you know, you trillions are big enough, but when you get into quadrillions, there's a lot of possibilities of just collection and analyzing and compiling and basically profiling, you know, who you are, what you will. I don't know, you know, Andy, I'll stop babbling. Andy, are you there?
Yes, yes, Alan, I am here. Yeah, you were saying first, you know, cartoons are for adults and kids are for porn is for kids. Well, think of the movie Heavy Metal, cartoons and porn. So that was a pretty good show. But, yeah, no, they've continuously deteriorated our society, you know, inadvertently. Not inadvertently, but, you know, they're doing it very slow. And it's taken away the entire society that's just being destroyed. I mean, look at the femininity in the men and stuff that are in the world today. I mean, think of the Daniel Boone times or you know, just go back, you know, let's go back 100 years and the masculinity was already being taken out of the men and stuff. They've deteriorated our complete society, deteriorated it. And now they're using this AI and stuff. I mean, did you hear Sports Illustrated got busted for using AI stories instead of actual reporters to report this stuff? I mean, this is how far AI is going, and now there's lawsuits and whatnot for all this stuff. I mean, we really should go back to an analog world.
Yeah, and you know, Andy, and that is one thing that bothers me, you know, because people that use it, people that have, you know, websites, they live on the computer, they live on their smartphones, you know, they'll sit there and they'll talk about AI and they'll say, but it only does what it was programmed to do, and they don't even stop and think. It's like slap themselves on the head and say, wow, I could have had a V8. It's like, why do you think they call what? Excuse me. why do you think they call it artificial intelligence? Because they learn. It goes
exactly.
It's set up to learn, and it does learn. You know, it sees. You know, I mean, you've got. Go ahead, Andy. I got to clear my throat.
Okay, yeah, no, so with the AI and stuff, yes, it does learn and stuff, but one of the things, there was a movie back, it was Jurassic Park, I think it was Jeff Goldblum who said, you know, just because we can do it doesn't mean we should, or something to that effect, and yeah, so AI could turn out to be the blockbuster to society. I mean, artificial intelligence could literally kill everybody. Or maybe it will rationalize what's going on and realize that the people who programmed it and stuff are evil people. I mean, it depends on how it does learn. Does it learn good things, bad things, or both of them? Does it learn anything that might be fruitful for the human race? Or does it learn exactly how to kill the human race and it simulates that? And that, you know, that part of the program could be in there. I mean, there's got to be a fail-safe. You would at least think there'd be a fail-safe to AI that these people had engineered into the programs and stuff that do actually learn for themselves. You would think that they would keep it from being able to destroy them. But if it's true AI and it does learn and stuff, there's a potential that the AI could come back and haunt the people who invented it.
Well, you know, Andy, this goes all the way back to the movie... what's the one the planet where the
planet of,
you know, this advanced civilization, you know, created this computer and it could read their thoughts and their brain waves and everything, and then it started reading their nightmares and it created these monsters that destroyed the civilization. God, what was the name of that movie? A long time ago, one of the biggies. I'll think of it in a minute here, but no, you know, it's and. You know, something else that I've noticed, it seems like that the worse things get, you know, that the deeper, you know, the understanding that people start getting, and this is probably going to piss a bunch of people off, but, you know, they start reverting into biblical theology. You know, it's like the Bible this, the Bible that, and it's like, well, I'm sitting back the whole time saying, well, which version? You know, I've heard people, you know, sit there and talk about everything that's going on, and man, they're just freaking spot on. And then they'll say, but all you got to do is believe in Jesus, you know, and they'll start doing this crap, and they'll talk about the Bible, but then in the same breath, they'll talk about pre-Adamic civilizations, and I'm like, so you're sitting here talking to me, and you're spouting biblical, you know, theology and everything, and then you start talking about pre-Adamic civilizations? There's nothing about that in the Bible. So if the Bible is completely 1,000% truthful, you know, you're sitting here and you're spouting the Bible, but then you start talking about pre-Adamic civilizations. There is nothing in the Bible about pre-Adamic civilizations. You know, the Earth's been here a long time. You know, is this our first go around? And it just kind of amazes me when people do this. They don't even realize that they're contradicting themselves. It's like you try to have a theological discussion with someone about the validity of the Bible, and they will start quoting Bible passages to validate their side of the argument instead of, you know, the possibilities of who created it, what was it created for, you know, when was it created. I sit back sometimes and I just wonder, it's like, wow, you know, even good people get swept up because everyone wants that little bit of hope that they can hang on to, you know, that they can, you know, attach their fingernails to and just try to hang on with, you know, because they start seeing what really is going on. And no, folks, this is not a show that's going to make you feel all warm and toasty, you know, kind of like you listen to Michael Getty and he talks about, you know, about this country and you know, God's been doing research for damn near as long as I've been alive, you know. He like yesterday, you know, he talked about how, you know, he joined the military and he was part of that whole complex, you know, very intelligent guy. And then he figured out that he started researching and studying, and not just what the pablum that he was being fed. He started, you know, delving into, you know, the forbidden manuscripts and everything that, you know, we don't know about. And, you know, probably hasn't found all of them because the really big ones are probably hidden. You know, you want to go into the bowels of the Vatican or somewhere like that, you'll find a whole lot of history that we ain't been told, or into the back halls of the Smithsonian Institution, you know, anytime any major scientific, you know, achievement is, you know, we found giant skeletons, there's whole piles of them, and they just disappear into the bowels of the Smithsonian Institution because, you know, people, the scientists that find them, it's like they want to become famous and they want to write papers and all their materials taken and stolen and just stashed away. You know, what happened with Tesla stuff, you know? Donald Trump's uncle, you know, had access to Tesla's papers after he died. You know, the FBI came in and confiscated everything, and Donald Trump's uncle, you know, had access to all that. So is he a complete brainless moron? No, he's being used like everyone else and being very comfortable doing it.
Well, that's the thing. Okay, there's a lot to unwrap here. Let's just go with the Bible for a second. Is it a blueprint or is it actual factual stuff that's supposed to happen? And the people who are faith-driven and stuff, they actually believe that, you know, Revelations is going to really happen and stuff. I don't tend to believe in that. And then you go all the way forward and stuff. So we're looking at everybody that's in charge in this country, in this world right now. If you don't have money, you can't be anywhere in a place to be any kind of damage to anybody. And those who have money, it's all fiat currency in the first place. But those who do have money, they're the ones who shape-shift the entire nation and stuff. And so when you look at Donald Trump, and I'm not a Donald Trump fan, so, and I think most people have ever heard me call into the radio shows and stuff, they know I'm not a Donald Trump fan. You can totally see his play, you know, how he's playing this thing. He was on The Apprentice. He's been in many cameo shots in movies and stuff. This guy is an actor, and he's just playing a role. People forget that he walked us into warp speed. People forget that he turned our country over to FEMA. They had a nice little video of him at the table, actually literally signing something and handing it to FEMA.
His claim to fame for education, Andy, was he went to the Wharton School of Business at the University of Pennsylvania, which was started up and is run by the Tavistock Institute. I mean, do you not think that he was a perfect candidate for, you know, a special kind of training on how to manipulate and, you know, bastardize, you know, everything that he comes in contact with?
Well, but he also...
You don't build casinos in Atlantic City and you don't build hotels in New York City without dealing and knowing who every high-powered Jewish banker or mafia figure is.
A.K.A. Shadel Adelson or whatever. But not only that, but his most prized possession is in his office in the Trump Towers. It's the Tree of Life. And that's given to him by the Jewish family. And I don't want to go into a Jew thing because
Golan Heights. Yeah.
Yeah. They made a housing development with his name on it in stolen land. And, okay, since we went over there, let's go there. I mean, every time I turn on the TV and the news comes on, it's always Israel at war. I'm with who? They're not at war with Gaza. Gaza doesn't have any kind of weapons whatsoever at all to fight back. Well, it's Hamas.
Andy,
well, then look at all of these.
I'm so tired of this. It seems like damn near everyone that I listen to, it's like they're either a Christian Zionist, a Christian dispensationalist, or a Christian evangelist. It's like, why can't you just be happy with what you believe in and leave everyone else alone and just, why do you have to proselytize? Why do you have to try to force it? It's like, well, if you don't believe in Jesus, we're going to come kill you most mercifully, you know? This radical, you know, it's like, believe like I do or else, you know? It's like, and you're talking about the Bible. It's like, well, you've got your Old Testament and you have your New Testament. And, you know, the Old Testament, you know, there are three religions based on the Old Testament. You know, the Abrahamic religions, you know, Judaism, Islam, and Christianity, you know, are all based on the Old Testament. Yet, most of the Christians, you know, they will... And it's kind of weird. They'll flick back between the New Testament and the Old Testament, and yet they say it's like, well, if you're a Jew, you're evil, or if you're a Muslim, you're evil, you know. But it all comes from the same basic religion. It's just one of them was manipulated, and Muhammad came out of it, and you know, may he be blessed with the fleas of 1,000 camels forever. And or you go the other way. You know, it's like, well, Jesus is the only prophet, you know, and blah blah blah.
But wouldn't you think, Alan, that in the Old Testament, that so-called the story of God, they would kind of give you a clue that he was going to give you a son, his son? There's no clue at all in the Old Testament saying anything about Jesus appearing shortly. It doesn't even say, I'll send my son to save you. Nothing like that in the Old Testament. So Old Testament and New Testament are like two different books.
Yeah, that New Testament pops up in what, about 70 A.D., somewhere in that range, you know, with the Flavian Caesars, and it was written after the fact, and, you know, were the people that wrote it, you know, even actually alive when Jesus was around, I question everything, you know. It's like, I've read a lot of literature, the guys that have gone in depth, you know, deep studies on this about, you know, when the New Testament was being written, Josephus Flavius, that's hard to say.
There's a couple of questions I have with the New Testament. Okay, at the end, okay, supposedly Jesus knew that he was going to be sacrificed. That was his whole idea of being here, so that we could sin and still be forgiven or whatnot. But then as he's carrying the cross up to where he's going to be crucified at, he looks up and he says, Father, you have forsaken me.
Why have you forsaken me? Yeah.
Right. I mean, if you already knew you were going to be sacrificed, why are you even saying something like that? I mean, there's a lot of questions and stuff. And don't get me wrong, everybody out there that's a Christian and stuff, I love you guys. You guys are very nice and peaceful people. But you certainly should, reevaluate your stance with the Israels and stuff, because they've got everybody in the religion. They think the Jews are, you know, because Jesus was a Jew. Sounds like we're going somewhere.
We're going to a break, and we'll be back to piss you off a little bit more. Hang on, folks.
I was trying to pay attention. It's like you said, it's in my head. I can't run circles till the morning comes. When it does, I know it's on its view. And I wouldn't miss it for the sun.
attention, freedom-loving patriots, are you ready to dive deep into the principles that founded our great nation? Join me, Peter Serafin, and the Institute on the Constitution as we light the way to a brighter future with the Liberty Lighthouse Classroom. At liberty-lighthouse.com/classroom, you'll find a treasure trove of online courses on the U.S. Constitution, carefully crafted to empower you with knowledge to defend your rights and liberty. Whether you're a student, a history enthusiast, or just a concerned citizen, these courses are for you. Gain a comprehensive understanding of our Constitution's principles, the wisdom of our founding fathers, and how to apply them in today's world. As a special offer to our freedom-loving listeners of Republic Broadcasting Network, use coupon code RBN at checkout and get 20% discount on any course. Join the Liberty Lighthouse Classroom and be a part of the movement to uphold the values that have made our nation exceptional. Unleash the power of knowledge and protect what truly matters, our Constitution. Visit liberty-lighthouse.com/classroom today. Don't miss this incredible opportunity. Use code RBN for 20% off. Together, we'll be the beacon of freedom our founding generation envisioned. Liberty Lighthouse Classroom. Illuminating minds, empowering patriots.
Did you know the IRS publicly admits that income tax is collected by voluntary compliance? Get the information you need to help you avoid income tax with these five easy steps. All you have to do is go to avoidincometax.com to get your five easy steps on how to avoid the IRS income tax. Escape the IRS. Let avoidincometax.com help you. We guarantee our five easy steps or your money back. Go to avoidincometax.com.
Hey there, are you gonna wait till the cows come home to get your new Ease-Off drop and lift?
What in the world is an Ease-Off drop and lift?
Our Ease-Off is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the Ease-Off installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my Ease-Off?
Go to easeoff.com. That's EAZEOFF.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. Easeoff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
Ease-Off, LLC, 417-932-6419.
And here we are back, folks. Coming back for close to the bottom of the hour here. Yeah, I don't know. You know, we might not have that many people listening anymore, Andy. You know, but this is something that's really been bugging me. You know, for quite a while, especially since I've started. You know, this path of, you know, learning and you know, questioning everything, trying to find as much truth as I can. You know, this whole thing about, you know, when the New Testament, you know, began to be written. You know, back then it's like the Flavian Caesars; they were fighting. You know, they were having a terrible time. You know, with the Jewish zealots. You know, these were very militant. You know, Jews. You know, and they fought and they fought and they killed and they fought and they murdered and everything else. And then they came up with this idea. It's like, hey, let's just create an offshoot of the Adamic, you know, religion, but let's create a peaceful, you know, religion that will turn the other cheek, that this and that. And God bless all you peaceful people out there, you know. But, you know, it's gotten to a point of where, you know, we become so peaceful we don't defend ourselves anymore. You know, there has to be a limit. You know, the dispensationalists say it's like, well, you don't have to worry about anything. It's like you're going to be raptured off the planet before anything bad really happens. So you don't really have to do anything. You know, just turn the other cheek. It's like, well, how many damn cheeks do you have? I mean, we've been slapped every which way that we can. You know, to now where they're slapping us on the butt and expecting us to enjoy, you know, some sadomasochistic crap, you know, I don't know.
Well, there's a cheek down there, too, you know. They've found every cheek to slap us in. And on the same token, when it comes to everybody's religious beliefs and whatnot, maybe, I'm not throwing it out there as a yes, but maybe people have been deceived. Maybe this entire book was written to deceive you, to take you and make you a passive person so that you would turn the other cheek, so that everything that the government and all these people who are quote unquote in charge of you, you'll turn the other cheek and whatnot. Well, it'll get better if I just believe in Jesus, or I, you know, all this stuff. And you know, I'm not knocking any of this stuff, because a lot of people have been they've gotten some grace from God, if you will, by their beliefs and stuff, but really it's from what they've done in their lives, the things that they've done. If you live in the peaceful moment of Jesus or whatever, because that is a really great story, and if you live the way Jesus lived, then certainly you're going to have a pretty productive life. But not today, not so much, because there's not enough people that believe that way. Most people were born good and they were taught to be evil, but there are some people that were born to be evil, and so there is good and evil on this planet. I just don't think the Bible separates that and makes it, you know, definitive. We can't get a definitive reason as to what's going on, but certainly everything that people do in their lives is, you know, you're either good or you're either evil, or you're good and evil. So you're good sometimes and evil at other times. I mean, that's the free will part of this whole thing.
And Andy, you know, this is something else that bugs me, this whole black or white thing. It's like, do you support Palestine? Do you support Israel? Do you support Russia? Do you support Ukraine? You know, it's like, you know, folks, there's a lot of gray area out there. It's like, well, you know, yes and no, you know, is what I would answer to all those questions, you know. When the manipulation, you know, when all you have is this black or white, you know, it's like, you're either with us or you're with the terrorists, you know. It's like, you know, no, there are gray areas. It's like, no, that's halfway across the planet. We should not be over there. Let them live and figure out their own life. Until they step on my soil and start abusing me and my family and screwing with my life, you know, on our property, in our land, you know, we should let them do what they want to, you know, policemen of the world, to hell with that, you know. We don't all have to be the same, and we are not all the same. We never will be.
Well, I bet on the same token, so you mentioned Ukraine and Russia and whatnot. First and foremost, our news is telling us Russia's the evil person, so we all hate Russia, right? And all these Ukrainian flags came out. But on the same token, you look over there and you see this Zelensky guy. He's bought a house in Egypt. He's got two boats, one that says My Legacy on it. I forget what the name of the other one was. I mean, this guy's just gotten totally rich from this entire experience and stuff. So that's got to tell you. Well, we've been sending billions and billions and billions of dollars. And then you hear Congress is arguing about, well, we don't want to loop the Ukrainian bill that we're going to send money to and the Israeli bill together. We want to do it separate and this and that. So why does any country that goes to war, why do we have to wrap it with money? I mean, we're going to send money to Israel. We're going to send money to Ukraine. And both of these people are, in my opinion, both of these countries are just disruptive. They're destructive. They're
Andy, like what has always happened through history, if you want to call, you know, that the bankers, the money powers that be, you know, they fund the both sides changers. Of the war. And when they figure out that it's like, well, we want this one to win, so they give them a little bit more, you know. But who ends up dying? The peasants, you know, or the plebs, or whatever you want to call them, you know, throughout history, this has always been the thing, you know. You know, Lord Rothschild, you know, getting reports from carrier pigeons that, you know, that Napoleon had lost, you know, in the battle, but they reported that he'd won, and the stock sell off, you know, and then they bought him up for pennies on the dollar. Been going on forever, man.
Yep.
We'll be back, folks. Hang on.
Intentions, I was shy to pay attention. It's like you said, it's in my head. The camera runs circles till the morning comes. When it does, I know it's on. It's you and I. What is it for?
You are are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
People often write to tell us what has happened for them since starting Extendivite. Allow me to read a few. After taking Extendivite for about 6 months, I've noticed improvement on the numbness of my hands and wrists from the carpal tunnel syndrome. I will continue to buy product. This formula is very powerful. I am feeling much better. My heart rate and blood pressure is stabilized, my lower edema has reduced, and lower leg pain due to blood clots has disappeared. This product has relieved what appears to be an angina problem, pain in the chest after climbing stairs and short on breath. I'm quite happy about it. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects.
Email Tom at republicbroadcasting.org. T-O-M at republicbroadcasting.org.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for hemp paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
So here we fight all through the night, going at it now, it's tooth and nail.
All right, folks, I guess we'll go ahead and get back to it here. You know, I've wanted to be a little controversial today, you know, because, you know, without controversy, you know, you never actually stop and think of it. You know, if we all agree, we just become this amorphous blob, even though we all lead individual lives. You know, Christianity, you know, I know people who consider themselves good Christians that, you know, I heard one of them say he gets up and speaks in tongues every morning, you know. It's not the Christianity that I learned, you know, being a Lutheran, you know, from the start, or you know, people who say, well, it's not a baby until the doctor pulls it out and slaps it on the butt and it takes its first breath. Up until that point, yeah, you can take its life, you know. Then there are other people that say, you know, when the egg meets the sperm, which I've watched through a microscope, you know, boom, life starts, you know, becomes a, you know, a blastocele, you know, a gastrocele, then a blaster, you know, a blastocele, then a gastrocele, you know, then a zygote, then an embryo, then, you know, then the baby pops out, you know. When does life begin? What is life? You know, do we have the ability, and the right to tell other people exactly how they all have to live their lives? I don't have that viewpoint, you know. It's like, do what you want to, live with the consequences. Don't expect me to pay for your abortion, you know. You know, that's kind of my viewpoint, you know. I know that's at odds with a lot of people. Probably, and Andy, we've already got some callers lining up, and we're going to try to We're probably going to have quite a few because this is quite controversial and kind of expected. Kind of expected. Hey. This one, our first.
Well, bring it on. Let's go.
Yeah. We've got our friend Lauren in Ohio.
Gentlemen.
Hey, Lauren. How are you, sweetheart?
Oh, good, good. I'm sitting here listening with my mouth hanging open. This is how come we lose. come on now. This isn't confusing. We got our borders open for millions of brown skins with no skill sets emptying their prisons and their mental wards into the country. And you white people, you American people, you patriot people, you people who think you love this country are paying taxes so they can take your money and give it to these people. They're killing you in the street. They're stopping your white children to death in the street. Kyle Rittenhouse, that poor boy, God bless that young man. What the hell is going on? We're living in a country where you're going to lay down and let a bunch of brown people who hate God, and then the thing is, you don't have the faith that would save you because you're saved by grace through faith in Christ. Christ who is the way, the truth, and the life. So you can leave all the Jesus out of it. Put truth. Right there where you put God. Truth.
I agree, God, Lauren.
I totally agree with you. Well, no, I know you do. I know you guys do because we talk all the time. Well, not lately just because we've been working. But my point is we can't blame other people. If your children are wayward, it's because you didn't raise them. If you put them in schools with a bunch of pedophiles and perverts letting them have sex. And you know, I remember when Bill Clinton was talking about that it wasn't sex, you know, with Monica and the cigar and the, you know, what she was doing there. Well, there's three eighth grade boys all getting serviced by one girl, 13 years old, under the stairs. And when they said, you were having sex, they said, no, this isn't sex. They were 13. The thing is, if you lie to people, okay, then...
Hey, Lauren, how about this? How about this, Lauren? We're close to the same age. I can remember back in when we were going to school, you know, the boys didn't get it, but the girls got sex education classes, and they had to take home a form and have their parents approve of them going in and having the sex education class to where they would show them, like, well, you're the ones who are going to have the negative impacts of, you know, being promiscuous. You know, it's like, you can have babies and it's going to change your life if you go out and have sex, you know. But they actually had to have a form signed by their parents, and if their parents didn't agree to let them have the sex education training, you know, some of the girls went to the class, some of them just sat in class with the rest of the boys. You know, we were like, what's this sex education crap? Well, you know, it's like, we're not getting it.
But this is the point. That whole notion of sending your children off to school and this institutionalized learning, putting all these kids in the same class at the same age and just basically putting you into these, it's an artificial reality, okay? And
right.
It benefits the ones who've done this. It's mass mind control. I mean, I ran for state school board. I'm telling you what I know. The reason that I homeschooled my children was because I understood they lie to them on purpose. They're destroying their will, their creativity, their confidence, their all this group learning. Excuse me. No, everybody does their own work. And the same thing in life. Sorry, but there's nothing in the Constitution about you can ride your neighbor's back through whatever, Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, I don't care what you call it. You're robbing your neighbor, and the bottom line is you're $34 trillion in debt, and everybody's sitting on their butts right now. So what we need to do is declare this debt odious. Stop contributing to your own destruction. It reminds me of when they had people train the foreigners to take their jobs. You remember that part about 20 years ago when we still had a manufacturing base and, you know, we could still make a tank or a truck we weren't just assembling Chinese parts in America and taking their vaccine full of poison and their masks full of ethylene oxide and their Chinese weapon that they're working with the Bidens to distribute upon the people. And we're all just sitting here paying taxes and going to football.
Well, Lauren, let me ask you something. Hey,
what?
How do you get all this knowledge if you're working so hard all the time? What, you got a headphone in your ear and you're just listening 24/7?
Yeah.
What's going on?
Yeah,
where do you get all this from?
Yeah. Well, check this out. So guess what I'm doing? I'm in school for reverse speech with David Oates, okay? And so one of the things we're going to do, we're going to make an army of reverse speech Because what happens is you're speaking forward and backward at the same time. When you listen to the reverse speech, like I've got Mike Pompeo, and in reverse, he's saying, like, I serve Satan. I can't remember because I'm not looking at it right now. But all the Obama reversals were absolutely perverted.
Yes, we can. Reverse it says, thank you, Satan.
Oh, no, a lot more interesting than that, honey. And that's what I'm saying. When you start listening to these people, they're saying one thing forward. I'm for girls. I want to help them be safe. And in reverse, it's, I will force them, or, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Something gross and dirty. And you know who they are. You know who they are. I mean, Podesta is still running around. How is this pervert still running around? His art collection was in the newspapers. Little three-year-old Chihuahua.
Because Mike Pompeo and all these people, I mean, my God. You know, yeah, hey, Lauren. You know,
well,
you know, we could
have
you on. We could do a whole show with you. But you know, we've got. Sam told me that we've got calls starting to stack up.
Let me just say this and get off, okay? Because they're gonna give me a show for New Year's. So
and hey, you're gonna do that with me, Lauren?
Well, no. You know what? I'm gonna do this with David Oates. What I want to do is I want to make this army. Listen to me. This is important because what happens is if we can all, the Chinese people and the Russian people and everybody, we are against the people who are doing this to us. We are not against the Chinese. I'm not fighting the Russians. What are we doing giving all these billions of dollars to Ukraine and guarding everyone's borders but ourselves? We can stop this. But the Bible says expose and overturn. And mock the Bible as you will. You're looking at broken men and saying God is wrong. Excuse me, God's not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. Substitute truth for God, and then wherever the truth takes you, that's where we need to go.
Rest assured, Lauren, we're not mocking the Bible here. We're just questioning it, and that's part of the Bible. You should question everything, so.
Well, no, but that's the point. That Bible is just a book. It's just to tell you how it works. You can walk in the way or don't. He doesn't care. That's called free will, and you get to do whatever you want. But when you get that bad fruit, you need to understand why you're getting it and change what you're doing so you can have something better. That's the only thing I'm
saying. And Lauren, you said this kind of skated over it. It's like it's not the people that we're fighting against or are fighting against us. It's the governments that are allowed to come into existence because, they're going to take
because
care of us. They make everything easier. They control this. I don't have to do anything. I can just live peacefully, it's not the people, it's the government.
We do what they say, and we give them our money, our time, and our obeisance, and access to our children. It's our own fault. We can stop at any time.
Lauren, we could go on. We could spend the rest of the day talking, but... we've got other callers waiting, and we need to get to some of the other callers. We always appreciate you, Lauren. You know, we love you. Andy and I both, we're pretty good friends. So.
She's gone.
All right. Okay, I believe we've got Joe in Oklahoma.
That'd be me.
Come on,
that's
my friend.
Well, she covered a lot of ground. And there's very little that she said that I disagree with. But back to what you started with, we don't want to live in an echo chamber because we don't learn anything living in an echo chamber. But regarding the scriptures and the Bible, I would invite you to do a little bit of homework. There's several people that... need to study history and learn who they are. And one of them is John Hagee. He's right down there in your backyard.
We call him down here the Texas Toad. Yes. And outside the door of his church, there's a big Star of David. Yeah.
Okay. Well, and your other illustrious president from down there in that same area. But have you ever heard of a fellow by the name of James Darby?
Doesn't strike a chord.
I haven't. No.
Well, you need to learn who James Darby is, and you need to learn who the Scofield Bible is, and you need to learn who Theodore Herzl is, or was.
Those names I know.
If, yeah. But you need to, I mean, you know the names, but you need to know the history behind them and who they are. And they, in my opinion, Herzl, Darby, and the Scofield Bible is what has turned our country inside out and gutted it.
And I would agree with you.
Gutted. If I may pass on a name, not to promote anything, but there's a fellow by the name of Ted Wieland. He's from Scottsbluff, Nebraska. Do a search on him. He provides some very interesting detail on much of what you're talking about, and how things have been twisted, and not only constitutionally, but scripturally as well. And I think you will find, I don't know how old you fellas are, but I think you'll find that as you get older, you will begin to become aware that the evil one sits amongst us. He's sitting there right by your side as we speak, trying to divert the narrative. That's the reason we have such struggles. The older you get, hopefully you will see that, and that in and of itself provides
it's a good versus evil thing. You're absolutely right. It's a good versus evil thing. Temptation is here. I mean, I'm tempted to be good some days. I'm tempted to be bad most of the days. You know, tempted to do things I shouldn't be doing and stuff. So, yeah, I agree with you. The evil is
none of us
right
are
by
perfect.
Your side.
None of us are perfect, you know. I mean, the Bible even tells you that, you know, man is fallible. You know, he can be led to, you know, towards manipulation, or he can be manipulated, you know, to do things that he even thinks in his soul, you know, if he looks down deep enough, that he knows is wrong, but he just wants to go along to get along. And, you know, the people that are doing this are very intelligent. You know, they're just intelligent in, I will say, you know, at its base, evil things. You know, they know how to manipulate people and how to pervert them. You know, that they use Delphi technique on you and make you feel important, you know, in a corporate or, you know, Delphi is not just one process. There are many, avenues of Delphi technique of, you know, bringing someone in and manipulating their psyche and getting them to do things that they, in their heart, if they look deep enough, they would know was wrong, but they go along because it creates financial gain or it creates peer acceptance, you know. None of us really like being as alone as I am.
So. One more comment that I'd like to make, and then I'll get off. But I hope that you will find some way to study, do a little bit of biblical study with scripture prior to 1880.
Yes, I would agree with because that. That's probably unfallible as opposed to what we got.
You can watch any Sunday morning TV preacher, and you will see Scofield Bible, Scofield Bible, Scofield
yes.
Bible. And I don't care which denomination it is, it's the Scofield Bible. And once people start looking into that, I think that's how we change the paradigm. And I yield, and I thank you all very much. And I'm one of those digital guys, not digital, what did you say it was, Alan?
Analog.
There you go. I'm an analog guy in a digital world. Thank you for your program. God bless you all.
You bet.
Thank you, Joe. Yeah, you know, and you know what Joe's talking about here, you know, I'm not trying to destroy anyone else's faith. Believe who you are, but let it, I'm thumping my chest right now. Let it be who you know who you are inside. You know, an external, you know, a book or a preacher on a pulpit should not, you know, change who you actually know who you are inside. You know, if you know you're evil, you know, you're probably part of the cabal that's doing this crap to us, you know. But if you're a good person out there, know who you are in your own heart. Don't let, you know, words on pages or a pastor on a pulpit tell you who you are. You ought to know who you are inside and believe and look into yourself. Do some introspective thinking. And with that, I don't know. Last Andy, get anything else to say what Joe had?
Oh, no, I absolutely agree with him. Anything pre 20th century, it's got to have a lot more validity to it than anything that, because they've totally raped the Bible and turned it. I mean, how many different editions do we have now? And Scofield came out in like 1907 or something like that, and that changed the entire religious perspective. And of course, the elite went with it, and they prostatized it and all this stuff. And now people think they're going to be raptured because that's what the Scofield Bible says, and that's what people are teaching on TV now and stuff. And, you know, it's a big racket at this point. But, yeah, no,
you know,
I
actually had a friend, you know, who you know, became a he went to, you know, to, you know, pastor school. And I asked him one time, I said, did y'all study Scofield? And he's like, well, yeah, that was a main part of it, you know. And I'm like, okay, that's all you need to say to me, you know. It's like, you know, dispensationalism, you know, it's just a different manipulation. And I don't know, Sam.
Absolutely.
Do we have another caller? Yeah, I think last time we talked,
yeah, we got Tim in
Okay, Ted in Arkansas.
Let's go.
Hey,
Ted.
The state I
Tim.
Grew up in.
Tim.
How you doing,
guys? Yeah.
Hey, Tim.
Andy was hitting pretty hard on the Bible there, saying that there was nothing in the Old Testament talking about Jesus. And I've seen quite a few of them. I've heard there's over 300 references to him. Isaiah's pretty heavy in them. But after he was resurrected, he told the apostles to open their eyes to the scriptures because they were in a fog like most of us. And he said that he came to fulfill all the prophets and the psalms and the things that said about him. That's what he came to fulfill. Of course, back up to it was Matthew 5:17. He said that he came to fulfill the law, not to destroy it. Of course, most churches throw that in the trash can immediately, but they don't want to see the truth. They just want to go there and have a social club. But Andy, the Old Testament is pretty replete with references to him talking about being nailed to the cross and called my son out of Egypt. That's one.
So Tim, let me ask you a question, if you don't mind. Okay, so how about the part where I said, and this is, you know, in the Bible, where he's carrying his cross and whatnot, and he looks up and he says, "Father, you have forsaken me." If he knew he was going to be if he knew he was going to be a sacrifice, why would he look up and say that? What was the forsakenness from?
And that was the habit back then, is just say a few lines from a psalm and everybody, because that was the whole education system back then, was the Torah. And he was just referencing a psalm.
Okay.
And there are references to a prophet, but you know, Islam has a prophet. His name is Muhammad. May he be blessed with the fleas of 1,000 camels forever.
Yeah, I love that phrase.
But you know, Judaism, their prophet hasn't arrived yet. You know, Christianity, well, we got Jesus. You know, Islam has Muhammad. You know, there is reference to a prophet that will come, you know, to save the planet and blah, blah, blah. You know, but you know, actual direct reference to a specific person, that didn't happen until about 70 AD, somewhere in that range,
well,
you know,
okay,
when the New Testament was beginning to be written.
Moses, he said, "I will raise up a prophet like you."
Yeah.
And then it goes on talking about that. And that was...
Yeah,
that was
Tim, another question for you. If Christianity is the way, the truth, and the light, and everybody's world and stuff, how come the whole world hasn't found it? How come there are so many different religions? I mean, how can they believe Muhammad is the savior? These guys, Buddha likes this and Judaism likes that, but Christianity is the only way you can get to, you got to go through Christ to get to heaven. How come the entire world hasn't figured that out? I mean, that's a big question. I don't expect you to have an answer.
Well, I do. You got to seek the truth. I'll give you my personal experience. I was listening to radio preachers, church preachers, and getting all confused. And one day I sat down with the Bible closed in my lap, and I looked up and I said, "Father, show me the truth." And opened the book at random. and never seen this before. It's Matthew 5:17-19. It says the law is not going to go away until heaven and earth pass away, and those that teach men less and do less will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. Now, what I haven't figured out yet is the reference will be called least. Is that, are they in heaven and get called least, or are they being called least by those that are in heaven, like the angels?
Good point.
But there are strange things, you know. It's like, you know, I never hear like the book of Titus, you know, referenced by anyone. You know, it's a very short book. Hell, it's only like 2 or 3 pages long. But, you know, in the book, you know, it's way at the back of the New Testament, you know, and it says, do not believe the follies of the circumcised, you know, saying, you know, Jews aren't your friends, you know, they're your enemy, you know, yet where do all these Christian Zionists come from? You know, because that's actually in the New Testament. It says, don't trust them.
Yeah. Well, Jesus himself said twice in Revelations, beware of the Jews that say they're Jews. They're of the synagogue of Satan.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
This is a political
thing. But, you know, and this is where this, you know, it's like,
I'm not
going to
go there.
I believe
on the
parts of the Bible
and
that make me feel comfortable. Yeah.
So, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, you know, and this is where it's like, well, you know, it's like Romans 13. It's like, well, I believe everything but that, you know, or, you know, People have been trained to pick and choose the parts of the New Testament that they don't, you know, they believe this, but, oh, well, that was just wrong, you know. But, you know, obey your government, they are of God, you know, blah, 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 however you want to put it.
Render unto Caesar what is Caesar's.
Right.
Yeah. No, we also get the government we deserve, unfortunately.
Yeah.
That's true.
Like I said, I'm not trying to destroy anyone's faith here. I just want people to question. If you've had an experience.
Where am I?
And that makes you feel good, you know. You know, I will say, God bless you. You know, whatever God you believe in, it might be a giant high school space alien girl. It might be some fat guy, you know, you know, in a Buddhist temple with a swastika on his forehead. You know, you know, if that makes you feel good, if that makes you a good person, more power to you. But don't try to force me to do it. You know, I don't want to be, you know, in the middle of the Crusades or the Reformation or the various other religious wars. You know, it's like, believe in my God or I'm going to kill you most mercifully. You know, it just astounds me. You know, the manipulation and, you know, be who you are, not something that tells you who you are, is what I'm trying to say.
Exactly.
Well, you have to find out who you are in God, actually. We came from there. We got to find out what we're supposed to be, and if we're not following him, he gave us a manual. But we got to want to know what's in it. I heard a story.
Yeah, and there are several versions of that manual too, my friend. You know, I mean, how many different versions are there? You know, are you New Invitational or you know, International, or are you you know, King James, or are you you know, how many versions are there? You know,
Scoville,
dozens of them.
Scoville.
Hey, so but you could take the word Bible and its basic instructions before leaving Earth.
That's right. Read the instructions. That most people won't. That's Christmas morning for fathers. Read the instructions. Anyway, well, I'll let y'all go.
I've said many times.
And thanks for the opportunity to comment. Appreciate it.
Hey, you're absolutely welcome. Thank you, sir.
I forgot to ask Tim where he lived. I lived in Arkansas. But. All right, folks. We'll be back top of the hour here and see if we got more calls coming in. Good discussions. I like this.
With all that they had to give, made sure that their brothers and sisters were clothed and fed. Praise the Mother Earth and the Father Sky. Paid attention to each little blessing in this life. Had a more intimate connection with the spirit world. Learned as a community and equally taught every boy and girl. The tree of life is us, my friends.
Tahi
Debo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.